You're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
World Generation Podcast Network presents Fatal 4-Way Radio. Starring Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker Kanye West, and the Swami, Christian Sub Philly. Brought to you in part by Pro Wrestling Planet. And now, your host, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister.
Welcome to the show. I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, and somber moment here for us in the studio as the Astros are getting spanked tonight. But let's, ladies and gentlemen, let's go right to the phones. Give it up for Kanye West in the What's going on, bud? How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. I'm not watching the game, actually. Ricky's not here tonight, so I wasn't really watching it.
I see. So our head cheerleader for the Astros is not with you tonight.
Yeah, it was too much for him. The pressure was too great, so he had to stay home.
Oh, yeah.
Watch his jersey.
I love it. Also joining us, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert.
Well, it sounds like the Astros are having a spooky time, if you will.
Oh, man.
Right? Am I right, guys? Am I right?
They're shit in the bed, bro.
They're shit in the bed. Hey, how's everything doing? Are you guys ready for this? You guys ready for this spectacular? Did you guys get your Halloween costumes on? I was excited about it all week. I'm dressed like a giant lobster. Just like a giant lobster today, sitting on the couch. We talked about this last week. We had a whole week to plan. This is a Halloween edition.
Of course.
I know the Astros are getting the shit kicked out of them right now, but that's fine. We've got a job to do, guys. We've been excited about this all week. I expected everybody to be in their costumes, even though we're over the phone. You can't see them. It's just the spirit of things. You know what I mean? It's like when they tell people who do like telemarketing to smile over the phone. Because even though the customers can't see you, they can feel you, you know. And
right.
So I hope you guys are. I want to feel your spooky over the phone. So
nice.
Let's get this going.
Children, are we ready? Children, are we ready to comply with Albert so he can feel our spookiness?
Yeah. I'm creeped out just by how you're saying children.
They're very menacingly, right?
Children.
Yeah. Love the children.
There's a little bit of a Michael Jackson thing in that voice there.
Yeah, it's like Jeff from South Park.
Ladies and gentlemen, also joining us tonight, the great one, the Swami. Give it up for Christian. Christian Javier, what's going on, bud?
I'm doing great, but I'm kind of bummed out because earlier today I picked some killer sound effects for tonight's spooky edition for the show, and we can't do it. It sucks, bro. I picked some bangers for tonight's show.
It really does, bro. It really does. I did enjoy listening to the songs. And then I was all excited, man. I was all excited about it and shit. You know, once they came through on the email, they came through just fine. But then I tried to load them up, and I don't know, man. My player's not cooperating with me. I think it's because I'm being a cheap ass, to be honest. I have not upgraded to their Windows 11 or whatever the fuck, and you know, I'm still running Windows 7, and I think it's a problem for them. And so they're making it a problem for me. And go ahead, Christian.
Should I tell the guys what were the sound effects going to be for tonight?
Yeah, you can tell them. Tell me, too, because I don't know the names of them. They were just like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
All right, so the first sound effect was the theme song for Gremlins, the New Batch theme song. That was supposed to be the first sound effect. Gremlins, the New Batch. The movie. The second Gremlins movie. The second sound effect was supposed to be The second sound effect was supposed to be Chucky's laughter. Chucky laughing, the killer doll. His laughter. The third sound effect was supposed to be the original Halloween theme song from the first movie, the Halloween.
Oh
movie.
Man! As soon as I got that one, bro, I opened that one up and heard what it was. I was like, oh man, I gotta do this one first. And I fucking put the music in and shit, and everything was fine and dandy until I tried to load it up into the other program that I used to do the editing, and then it was like it was not cooperating. I was like, oh, fuck, man. Damn it. But it is what it is, bro.
So the fourth one
instead of a treat,
the fourth
it looked
one,
like we got tricked.
Yeah. So the fourth one was supposed to be the Puppet Master theme song from the Puppet Master movie.
Hell yeah.
And then the finale of the soundtrack was supposed to be the Thriller laughing scene, where after the Thriller song ended, there was a part in the music video where the laughter came in. So from Vincent Price.
That laugh sounded more like Ted DiBiase. It sounded more like the Million Dollar Man laugh. Like, Chucky's is more of a Seth Rollins vibe.
Oh, damn it. How many times do I have to tell you, boy? I don't buy worthless souls.
Oh, yeah. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it now.
It's
a 10 count. It's too much. It's too much.
Trick. Smell my feet.
Too much.
God
damn it, Judge. I gotta turn the lights on real quick. That was
can I comment on Freddie real quick? Since it's the Halloween episode, just real quick. Freddie, I have this thing with Freddie where Freddie's my favorite slasher guy of all the horror movies, but he's also there's something wrong with that because he's the most evil one. He like killed kids. He was like a child molester that killed kids and stuff. So like they make Freddie this most hateable guy, like a baby. They make him like really funny and like likable. All the other guys are just like quiet killers, right? But why do they make like the worst guy like this funny tweener? I don't get it. Why do they book
him?
You
know Freddy, right? Freddy wasn't a child molester, was he?
He at least killed kids. It was alluded that he molested kids.
Yeah, that was the first one, and then they changed their mind. They said, fuck it, let's not do that, all right? By the way, this is a disclaimer. We're talking about a movie, people. Disclaimer. We're talking about a movie. It's not real.
Yeah. We're talking about people.
We're not talking about my deal, Freddy, from
Fred
down
Kruger.
The street. That's
the kayfabe Fred Krueger, not the real Fred Krueger. We're kayfabe.
Yeah.
Fred Krueger. Not my deal either. Not my deal either. That's another story. What he did in the 80s is it stays in the 80s, my friend.
I can see the Halloween episode going off the rails. I'll be quiet.
Shall we continue, gentlemen? Birthday. Right on. Christian, you got the theme?
The devil.
Yes.
Oh my
Happy
God.
Birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Your birthdays don't mean shit because it's Halloween and it's better than your fucking days. Go fuck yourself.
Let's get the fucking devil up in this motherfucker. CM Punk today. The Second City Saint. CM Punk. And, oh, man. I've got some. Yeah, happy birthday, CM Punk. I've got some, later on, we're going to get into the AEW Weekly.
Yeah.
I got a little take on CM Punk. Well, but happy birthday, CM Punk. How old is this fucker? Let's see.
Oh,
he's born 1978, guys. 1978.
He's around 40 years old or something.
40
years. Mid-40s. Wait, CM Punk?
42. He's 10 years older than me.
Is that why he's so bitchy? He's a Scorpio?
Actually, he's 43. He's 43 if his birthday's today. Yeah.
There you go. Kanye West, the mathematician over there.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
What? One plus
well,
one.
Let's
what?
See here. So happy birthday, CM Punk, who, by the way, is probably right now hanging out with his lovely wife. They're probably watching the Astros get their ass.
Yeah, they're probably listening to the show right now.
Yeah,
Adam,
well, they got
man.
Us on.
Hey, Phil. Hey, Phil, hope you enjoy that house that we bought for you.
Yeah. I'm going to say
and
hi to AJ.
Also facing, and he's also facing Bobby Fish tonight in his first ever AEW Dynamite match. First ever.
Wow.
Hell yeah.
There you go. October 26th, also Taka Michinoku. I think I've heard that name maybe in AEW or some shit.
No, he was in WWF.
By the way, tonight's show going down
happen.
Good with the Shiner Oktoberfest. So give it up for that. Try it out.
Nice. I think Albert said that he's seen Taka Michinoku wrestle live before, right? Didn't you see Taka
there
down
you
there?
Go.
By
That's
you?
What it was.
No. 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 I saw his tag team partner, which is Shao Funaki. I saw him live. Yeah, he wrestled in those little like shows that would run down in Edo, from. And
Funaki.
Yeah. Oh, apparently, I mean he lives in the area too now. He lives in
Funaki.
Yeah, Funaki.
Taka has his own promotion in Japan, like Michinoku Pro or whatever, and it's like a feeding ground for other Japanese promotions.
Is that right?
Let's be real, fellas. The only reason why he's famous is because they named a move after him. They name a move after him, so that's why he's famous. Let's just be real.
He got that. Yeah, I don't even think the move wasn't named after him. I think it was named after his uncle, if I'm not mistaken.
Michinoku Drive.
Yeah. Yeah,
I could be wrong.
We got to take all that into account. Harvey Whippleman, October 27th, tomorrow, by the way. You guys remember Harvey Whippleman?
I have no idea who that is.
You know,
I think he was a manager.
The manager. And, you know, The Rock, supposedly he's, like, really good friends with The Rock still. Like, he helped him out on his way up. And there was he helped him out with, like, The Rock getting an apartment when he first got to WWF and all this stuff, too. And there was a video that came out a few months ago where The Rock was telling the story. It was like for The Rock show, I think it was called, right? What the fuck's his show called? Young Rock, right?
Where he
told the story of how he bought the car with the crackhead in the back seat. It's a fictionalized version of the TV show, but in reality, he borrowed the money from Harvey Whippleman to buy that car, and that's the true story. And so there was a video that came out a few months ago, where it was The Rock surprising Harvey Whippleman with a brand new Ford truck, like all decked out and stuff. So
badass.
Also, that means The Rock show is a fucking lie then.
Well, it's fictionalized,
well,
of course. It's,
you know, yeah.
No,
it's based on fiction. But, I mean, you know, like, that goes even with a movie. When they say it's based on a true story, it doesn't mean it happened exactly the way, you know, they say it does in the movie.
The show sucks anyway, yeah. So the show sucks anyway.
I've seen it a couple of times.
A lot of things like condensed.
It's all right, I guess. It's not something I'd watch.
A lot of the stories are condensed. So, like, it's like a portmanteau of things, you know, of things that actually happen, kind of told in a different way. You know what I mean? It's not exactly all fact.
Right. Speaking of Bobby Fish, also tomorrow with a birthday, Bobby freaking Fish, 1979. This guy's a good wrestler, man.
Poor guy's gonna fucking lose on his birthday to CM Punk. What a happy birthday!
Well, you know, man, shit like that happens.
What?
I mean, you know, it happens, man. I mean,
he's gonna be CM Punk's bitch. He's going to be CM Punk's bitch tomorrow.
Well, you know, it's another one of those things, you know, again, that happens.
Happy birthday.
He's probably thinking, you know, hey, I get to wrestle CM Punk on my birthday. That's a badass birthday gift.
There you
loser.
Go. I get to, exactly. I get to job out the Punk. I mean, not everybody gets to do that, you know. It's good work if you can get it, though. At least I hear.
Happy birthday, bitch.
Iron Mike Sharp. You guys remember that jobber?
No.
I do. Mullet
Mike Sharp.
Makes him 72 years old. Iron Mike Sharp. I remember that guy. He was a jobber. But he was a tough guy. Tough guy jobber. Montel Vontavious Porter, also known as MVP.
Who's
Big
still
baller,
out by Ribby.
Shot collar. 20-inch blade. 1973, that's October 28th.
Yeah. Who's still out with a rib injury?
Yeah, he's still out with a... He had some kind of surgery.
Yeah, for his rib. He had a rib injury.
Christy Hemme, also October 28th. Who, of course, rose to fame when that guy rubbed his crotch all over her face.
Yeah.
That was pretty fucked up.
Off Mary.
Yeah, Christy Hemme, man. She was something else. Never really had any talent for the business, but she had a good, you know, she had a good vibe backstage, like, you know, with the interviews and stuff. I thought that was her best spot. The wrestling part of her career, I don't know, you know, but the backstage.
Up until now.
Yes, sir?
Up until now, I thought that her and Maria Kanellis were the same person.
Her and who?
Maria Kanellis. I just looked her up, and I just looked up Christy Hemme, and like, I've seen this chick before, and I thought that they were the same person.
Hey, sometimes shit like that happens, Christian. You'll find out as you get older in life that shit like that happened. You know, you go all your life thinking one thing, and then next thing you know, it all comes together. And it's like, holy fuck, man, I've been wrong about this shit all along. Who the fuck knew?
I don't think I
Rocky Romero, October 28th. Never heard of that guy.
Rocky Romero.
Paul Orndorff, October 29th, who recently passed away, by the way. He was 1949. Oh, we have the great Edge. Edge, October 30th, the big lion.
On the day. I see clearly.
Yeah.
Edge. October 30. Yeah.
I saw a video. There's a video on YouTube. Yeah. There's a video on YouTube that got suggested to me of Edge, and it's like during a talk show, a Canadian talk show, and they're interviewing Bret Hart. And yeah, and they go to the crowd, and Edge is in the crowd, and he's, like, super skinny. He's, like, 19 years old or 20 years old. He's super skinny. And he's like, so what's your advice for, like, a wrestler trying to get a contract with, like, WWEF or Turner's guys or whatever? And Brett tells them that, like, they have to get on TV, and then Edge is like, well, we're on TV. We've been on TV up here. And they're like, I don't know. Brett's just like, well, yeah, I mean, it's like, you got to be, like, as good as me. It's like, essentially what he says to the guys. It's pretty funny.
He should have just said this. He should have said, if I was Edge back then, I should have said, hey, Brett, I'm going to have a better fucking career than you would.
Hey, I'll tell you what, man. Edge, you got to admire him for his physique. The way he came up throughout his career. Like, he was clearly, when he started, even with Gangrel, I don't know anything about him before that. But, you know, when he came up in the scene with Gangrel and shit, I was all about it. And he was just a skinny-ass punk, right? And then you could see him gradually, you know, in his run, especially in the 2000s, 2006 and shit like that. You could see he had just turned into a man. In front of your eyes, he had grown up from this just skinny-ass punk into a freaking man, right? And now he's just a fucking full-fledged lion. He's the big lion.
Calm down, Chuck. But man, what's going on there?
He's the big lion, dude. I've been watching these lion videos, man, and Edge is like that big lion. There's only one way. There's only one way that the lion can go down.
Jesus.
That's a rated R superstar.
Death. Another a younger lion comes around and he takes the big lion spot for the lioness. Yeah.
And the other bigger lion goes down, huh?
The big lion goes down, yeah. Bro, and that's just a fact of life. That's just the way it is. And they gotta eat, bro. You gotta watch these lion videos when they're out there chasing fucking man. They'll go out. Oh man, it's fucking beautiful. It's so soothing. It's so soothing to watch the buffalo going through the river and shit, and then the last buffalo is on his way through, and the next thing you know, a fucking lion shows up, and sorry, he's not gonna make it.
Yeah.
But I digress.
Water buffalo got
Chuck fucked. Watching these lion videos, but did he watch SmackDown this week?
That's how bad SmackDown is that I'll be watching these lion videos while SmackDown is going on.
Yeah. By the way, disclaimer, this week's SmackDown's going to take place in FS1. It's not going to take place on Fox this week.
How much would it be to finally move SmackDown to FSN in the near future?
Nah.
It's FS1, yeah.
Nah, they're not going to do that. They're only doing it right now because of, you know, playoffs.
Playoffs, yeah.
And just like this shit with AEW on Saturday night.
Yeah.
But let's get back to the birthdays real quick. Let's see here. We go this week until November 2nd. Bobby Heenan would have been, wait a minute. Has he passed yet?
Yes, he's dead. Bobby Heenan.
Right, yeah, he was in rough shape last time I remember.
Yeah. Yeah,
it would have been November 1st. Tyler Rex. You guys remember that guy?
Well, also we can't call him guy no more. We can't call him guy no more.
What can we call him?
We have to call him her now. She's a she now, so.
Oh, hell. So we got to call it an it, or what is it?
No.
We got to speak in the...
Before we get canceled.
Gabby Tufts is a
student. By the way, you have to forgive me. For not knowing this, and by the way, you can call in if you want to correct me because, you know, I'll apologize for my ignorance and not knowing this, but it's all new to me. It's all new to me because, you know, if you're born with a dick, you're a guy. I mean, that's just all there is.
Yeah.
But I digress.
Yeah, but we have to be careful because we could get canceled. So.
No. Yeah. I'm so worried. Eli Drake, also November 1st.
Yeah,
Eli
LA
Drake.
LA Knight.
Sharmell, November 2nd. Samir Singh,
yeah,
November 2nd as well. So happy birthday to everybody who made the list. Right? We have a little crazy laugh for them. It was several years ago today. It was 25 years ago today. WCW presented Halloween Havoc. And you can find this on the WWE Network link. And this was from the MGM Grand Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. 12,000 in attendance. 12,457. Yeah. With 405,000 watching at home. Pay-per-view, baby. That's right. It was more than double than the previous month's Fall Brawl. But I digress. On the card, Ray Jr. defeated Eddie Guerrero in a title versus mask match to win the WCW Cruiserweight Championship. Had Mysterio lost, he would have been forced to unmask. The bout won WCW's Match of the Year award for 1997 and finished fourth in the Wrestling Observer newsletter. Alex Wright was also on the card. He defeated Steve McMichael. who's in rough shape, by the way. He's in rough shape. Our thoughts are with his family. Jacqueline defeated Disco Inferno, who's been running his mouth quite a bit as of late. But that goes. Kurt Hennig defeated the canceled Ric Flair by disqualification to retain the WCW United States Championship. Now, Ric Flair recently canceled, you know, for the whole Dick helicopter spinning thing and the plane thing, who everybody thought it was amusing except for somebody. Is making the rounds again, though. He was recently inducted into a Hall of Fame for, I think it was New York State or some state, in their State Wrestling Hall of Fame. So he's making a comeback. But for now, he's still canceled. Until I see him in those commercials again, woo! Selling insurance or whatever the fuck he was selling, he's canceled. But I digress. Lex Luger defeated Scott Hall. Larry Zbysko was a special guest referee. And Randy Savage defeated Diamond Dallas Page in a sudden death match. It was a last man standing match, no less. And Roddy Piper defeated Hollywood Hulk Hogan by a submission in a steel cage match. And
that match was garbage.
Was Wrestling Observer's newsletter's worst match of the year.
It was.
Christian?
It was. It was fucking garbage. This was two old fucking people wrestling in their fucking... One of them had a fucking broken hip. Fucking
as an old guy, I'm offended.
I'm
offended as an old guy. It's racist.
Yeah, but still, I bet you even you at your age would perform the better match than these two old fucks. What fucking... Piper had a broken fucking hip. Why the fuck are you having him wrestle with a fucking broken hip? You know, like a fucking metal hip in 1997. This is horrible. This was horrendous. And guess what? This was a year before Hogan had another horrible match the next year following that with fucking Ultimate Warrior. So think about that. 2 years in a row, back to back, Hulk Hogan had both the worst matches at the same pay-per-view with two old fucking people. Wow. 2 years in a row, back to back.
2 years. That was WCW, man.
It's kind of like art imitating life with, you know, Joe Biden and all. How the fuck can this fuck be president? But I digress.
Okay.
Well, I became president, Chuck, because, well, I speak to the people, Chuck. I know what to say, and I love your show, by the way. And
I think Joe Biden's been taking promo classes from Damian Priest.
Yeah, Damian. Yeah, that was rough, Damian Priest. So, yeah, that was that for the worst match of the year, bro.
Yeah.
Albert?
Oh, I say Joe Biden sounded a little bit like Jeff Jarrett, didn't he?
Old flat nut Biden.
Let's see here. I don't know that I want to go through too much more history. I think we've done enough on the history.
It's Halloween.
Yeah, it's Halloween. So let's go ahead and move along, shall we, gentlemen? Halloween segments. I got some horrifying shit here. Okay, guys. That's also hilarious and even some historic Halloween moments in pro wrestling. Do any of you guys have any, by the way? Or do you guys want me to just set the table on these and we unfold it as it goes?
I have one.
You do that. I got a bunch, but you know, I was trying to encourage some callers to call in and share their moments, but I guess we'll see out there in Radio Land if somebody calls in and wants a free T-shirt from Pro Wrestling Planet Tees.
Hey,
but yes, Chris, I'm sorry. Go ahead and
that's for Brandon.
Alright, so there's one horrifying moment where Ken Shamrock's sister gets abducted by The Undertaker and she almost gets sacrificed on Raw at one point.
Damn, she gets she gets kidnapped or what? Sacrificed or what?
She gets kidnapped in her hotel room. And then she almost gets sacrificed by The Undertaker on Raw.
Oh, my God. I seem to remember reading something about that just recently. I mean, it may have even been during this past week. I don't know. I went through so much material. It had to have been sometime this past week.
This was part of the time where Undertaker began to kidnap everybody. He kidnapped Stephanie. He kidnapped Boss Man.
Yes.
He kidnapped... Ken Shamrock's sister.
This is the time when it was badass, bro.
Yeah.
This is the time when it was bad. It was fucking madness. This is the time that made me fall in love with fucking WWE. Yeah, I gotta call a spade here. This is the bullshit right here.
But Vince likes all that demonic shit, dude. Vince is like super into like letting people run with some demon shit. He's like, yeah, let's put a cross out there and. bury him in a graveyard, you know. Or, I don't know. He leans really hard into that shit. So it goes hand in hand. I bet Vince loves Halloween. I bet it's lit at his house. I bet he loves trick-or-treaters. He's like, don't touch it. Did you use hand sanitizer? Nasty little shits.
We had Phantom breakthrough in keeping with the theme of the season for its Halloween Havoc pay-per-view back in 1991, guys. WCW debuted a mysterious wrestler at the show named the WCW Phantom. Is that creative or is that fucking lazy? Now, Phantom made a quick work out of Tom Zenk, whoever the fuck that is, and then he unmasked, revealing that it was none other than Rick Rude. He had manager Paul E. Dangerously and valet Medusa by his side. And he told C-level announcer none other than Eric Bischoff, who was wearing a Dracula costume, that he was coming after Sting's United States title. Anybody remember this shit? I remember it because
ironic.
I watched the video of it.
It's ironic that Bischoff was wearing a Dracula costume, right? Because he was sucking the life out of WCW the whole time he was in charge.
Badass fucking example of irony. He was sucking the fucking blood right out of the shit.
I wonder what Vince Russo was for Halloween that day. Maybe Vince was a big old piece of shit.
Yeah.
Bro,
you know, Vincent Van's ever been anything for Halloween? You think he's ever been anything for Halloween, like, at all in his entire life? Like,
I don't believe in kayfabe, Halloween kayfabe, bro. It's just, you know, people don't believe in Halloween anymore. Everybody knows it's a work, bro. You got to be more honest. On Halloween, you go out without any costume on. You say, hey,
that's
I'm here
right,
for candy.
Bro.
You know what I'm here for. No more trick-or-treat.
Give the candy
smart
away,
us,
baby.
Bro.
That's right.
You know,
that's all they want
what?
Now is the candy.
We all know what costume he's wearing. He's going out as the word bro.
Yeah. He's dressing up as Vincent Kennedy McMahon, cosplaying as Vince. He's like, bro, look at me, bro.
Here's another one, guys. This one we'll refer to as the Smashing Pumpkin. No, this had nothing to do with the Smashing Pumpkins, Billy Corgan, with his, you know, latest wrestling endeavor. Nothing at all. You know, it is pretty scary to think that anyone believes bringing the NWA back from the dead and trying to make it relevant in 2017 is a good idea. But I digress.
It's
this
okay.
Is about
the
trick-or-treat street fight, okay? The trick-or-treat street fight between Dolph Ziggler and The Miz on the Halloween 2015 episode of SmackDown. And I know Christian, he's already
yeah.
got it in his head. In this match,
I remember
what happened,
this.
Guys. They had Halloween items such as pumpkins, a tub filled with apples, that were available for use, of course. Now, the highlight of this was Ziggler putting a pumpkin over Miz's head and smashing it with a super kick. Kevin, you said you remember this?
Yeah, I was watching like every episode. I wouldn't miss like any show at this time period. So, and I was, both of these guys were super over for me for a long time, but they were both mid-card level at this time, I'm pretty sure. So, yeah, that's what that stupid ass.
Right on.
But it was kind of cool to have him put a pumpkin on his head. That spot was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Carney.
So, nope. I mean, I just remember it.
From Carney.
Yeah. I don't remember it being badass. I just remember he put a pumpkin on his head.
Albert, any recollection of this, or were you on tour during this time?
No recollection of this whatsoever. I mean, very little, I guess. I remember it was a time when they were doing a bunch of stupid stuff, you know, and that was one
they
of them.
They were. I was watching it. It was stupid.
It was like 2012 era. That was like the worst era of fucking WWE. People talk about how this era is fucking crappy. Nah,
no,
dude.
It was after that. It was after that.
2008 to like 2015 or 16 was fucking horrid. Like horrid.
I think that 2013 to 2017 was like my favorite run.
Right on.
Yeah, that's just me.
Yeah.
2018 is when it started going downhill. 2018
yeah.
was the beginning of the end. Fucking, this match was a clown show. ruining a good feud that was actually very good and turning it into a fucking circus act. Hated it.
Change up to Yuengling, by the way.
Hated it.
Did y'all see the Miz's costume last night on Dancing with the Stars?
Yeah.
Oh no, I don't watch that shit.
I honestly think he's gonna win the whole show at this point.
I hope so. I hope he does.
I was reading I was in the subreddit for Dancing with the Stars, and like The Miz is over with those people. Like they love that dude. So there's a good chance that
he
wins.
He is a highly decorated athlete. Made his bones, of course, as you know, in the real world. I happened to watch that season. I didn't find him annoying. I thought he was a kid with a fucking vision. And sure enough, that's exactly what he turned out to be. He realized
he went his pinhead last night. They danced his pinhead on Dancing with the Stars. It was pretty awesome. He looked pretty sick in the costume.
I've not seen any of his work on Dancing with the Stars, but this might be worth watching.
Well, it was Halloween theme, that's all.
Here's another one, guys. The Lunatic Witch. This was WWE's first trick-or-treat street fight back in 2014 on an episode of SmackDown, and it was Dean Ambrose against Cesaro. Now, Ambrose, who seems to be channeling Jack Nicholson in The Shining 365 days a year, certainly was in his element. That's right. He was fucking clicking on all fucking cylinders. He not only hit the fucking dirty deeds on Cesaro while Cesaro had a pumpkin on his head, but he also used a skeleton, or what was that, former WWE star Colin Delaney. I don't know which one it was. It was either a skeleton or Colin Delaney. As a weapon, he used this shit as a weapon, okay? And hopped on a witch's broom while dropping an elbow off the top rope.
That is hell so yeah. Fucking man. That is so fucking
That was a long time ago, too. That was like 8 years ago. And this dude was like already, he was like, they're making me. Dean Ambrose, he's like, they're making me do this stupid ass shit already. Like, they were just already making him do this dumb shit then. That's crazy.
You know he was
that
fucking
had to be,
seedy.
That had to be towards the beginning. That had to be like right after the Shield broke up and during his first run or something. It had to have been like right after it because there's
what,
no
what
fucking way.
I bet you Renee Young loved it.
What year was this? Because if you say this is 2016.
14.
Was
14.
I bet 14, you Renee
oh,
Young
God,
loved it.
That's horrible. That is horrible. That's after the Shield broke up. That's horrible.
Yeah. This is like probably before they covered everybody with ketchup or whatever, before the whole hot dog incident.
Yes.
But this is like... This is the
during.
Beginning of the downfall for Dean.
This was during.
Yeah. That's probably when the wheels started turning in his head, like, I got to get the fuck out of here.
I'm surprised he became... I was honestly surprised he became WWE champion.
Listen, it's Vince. It's me, Vince, on the phone. Listen, Dean, I got a great fucking idea for you. How about... come out there and just emphasize the fact that you're crazy, bro. Listen, we come out there and you put a house plant out there on your show and you call it Mitch and everybody gets a good laugh out of it and you get yourself over. How about that, Dean?
Nah, what if I like smashed it on somebody's head?
No. You love the plant. That's the thing. You're really into this plant, see? See, Dean, it's going to get over. I promise you, baby. It's going to get over.
Yeah, but, like, it builds to, like, me smashing the plant on something, right?
It doesn't build to anything. Listen, what it builds to is we're going to get your mother involved. Once all this is done, because it turns out it was actually your mother's plant, and it ends at SummerSlam against you, Roman Reigns, in a Dean Ambrose's mother on a pole match.
Oh, my God. Stop it.
first one to plant your opponent wins.
Damn it. That's some outlandish shit.
Fucking Vince Russo.
Here we have another one, though. It was All Hallows Eve. Yes. Thank you. And, of course, we had the mystical Hardy compound. This was none other than the Halloween episode 2016 of Impact Wrestling, as documented the Hardy Boys, the Broken Hardys, welcoming trick-or-treaters to their abode. Listen, you know what I'm talking about here? Broken Matt, he started looking out for the health of Youth America. And he fucking chose to hand out delectable green beans rather than candy. The strange festivities also included cameo appearances by the Hurricane, Itchweed, and presidential hopefuls Donald J. Trump and Hillary Rodham Clinton, who, by the way, happy birthday to Hillary Clinton today also. Hillary Clinton, by the way. We did not mention earlier. My apologies. The queen that never was, Hillary Clinton.
This was during the time when the broken Matt Hardy gimmick was over as fuck. This was when Matt Hardy was cool again.
Yeah.
It was great.
He had gone from fucking Fat Lardy, they used to call him in the goddamn fucking interwebs. Fat fucking Lardy. And he fucking turned that shit around. Next thing you know, he had all those same fucking neckbeards that were calling him Fat Lardy. He had them fucking delete, and all that. Tell him about it, Christian.
It's fucking sheep, man. Those are fucking sheep. They're not real fucking fans. One minute they like the guy, and the next they fucking turn on him. They're fucking sheep. They don't know what the fuck they want.
A bunch of then, fucking hypocrites.
You know. And then Matt Hardy goes to WWE with the gimmick, and they fucking ruined the gimmick. They killed the gimmick.
Yeah. So let's see here. I got a few more guys. I got a couple more.
That was one of the rare times where WWE actually took something from somewhere else and had to change the name. You know, normally it's like, oh, I'm going to such an Impact. I'm going to AEW. I have to, with the same kind of gimmick, and I have to kind of change it around a little bit. WWE had to do that with Broken Matt Hardy because Impact owned the name Broken Matt Hardy, right? So he was Woken Matt Hardy.
Yes,
so
that's right. They
did that because, I mean, in a rare occasion, normally it's the other way around, but that was, I thought that was kind of weird. You know?
Yeah, that's a great point.
Thank God
there.
It didn't turn into like woke culture Matt Hardy or something, and he's like correcting everybody.
God.
He's like right to censoring everybody.
Yeah, I'd love to see something like that come up, though.
I'd love to see someone like that come up and go against we have a faction of that going up against that Dan Lambert. Oh, man, that would be killer. Book it. Book that shit. I'm all about it.
They do have a faction like that. It's called the Dark Order, but they don't know what the fuck to do with
that
faction.
No doubt.
Oh, yeah, I've seen, you know what, come to think of it, I have seen that. I have noticed that shit. Yeah. What's up with that guy, man? He looks so out of place. I mean, is he a midget or is he not? I mean, what the fuck is he?
Dude, yeah, I was asking myself the same question, dude. John Silver, is he a dwarf?
What's his name?
I don't know, but that's the whole point. They're supposed to be misfits, so it fits, you know.
Oh,
he's so tiny, dude. And I was looking at him and Marco and Jungle Boy, and like Jungle Boy looks larger than life right now. And Marco is so small, it's ridiculous. But that dude Silver looks so tiny too. But he's ripped. I got thoughts on Jungle Boy.
That's the whole point. They're misfits. So that's the whole point. That's their gimmick. They're misfits.
Yeah,
they don't belong.
Said that,
I think it's cool.
As soon as you said
more,
that,
like,
that made it cool
size.
For me. But we had the main event for WCW's Halloween Havoc in 1992, guys. And they had a spin the wheel, make the deal.
Boo.
Now, this was going to be between the sinister Jake the Snake Roberts and the heroic Sting. In the lead-up to this match, WCW shot a mini-movie, guys. This is the pro wrestling's equivalent of Showgirls, no less.
Yeah.
All those things acting made the chick who played Jenny Spano look like Meryl Streep. Christian?
Sting was in every fucking mini-movie of these WCW things. He was in it against Vader. He was in it against Jake Roberts, and then he was in it against some other wrestler. There was only three mini-movies, and then they canceled it, and that's it. Sting was in all of them.
Yeah.
Dude.
Well, they got a video on it. I need to share the link with you guys.
It wasn't the movie that they did on TNT with Sting, right, where he's like a cop? You guys remember that one?
No.
What?
I'm not familiar, really.
he had a full length fucking movie, dude. And I think I want to do like a YouTube review on this fucking movie. It was like I remember seeing it and thinking it was fucking horrible. It was like I was talking about
it. It's because it was a religious movie.
No.
It
was before that. It was like a TNT special, like original movie that came out like in 98, 97, something like that. I'm gonna look it up right now and figure out what I'm talking about. But
hell yeah, I watched a wrestling movie. I know we're in the middle of doing this, but I watched a wrestling movie on HBO this weekend, and it's a short film. And I have HBO Max subscription right now, and it's called Loser Leaves Town. And it was like an 11-minute film just about this. And it was really cool. Like, if y'all get a chance to watch it, I tried to look up information about it, and there's, like, barely anything online. They just have, like, an IMDb page about it. And there's, like, very few reviews. But it was, like, an 11-minute movie about this little kid who, like, he's moving out of his town. He doesn't have any friends, and he, like, is super shy, and he pretends to be a wrestler. And then he meets this other little girl. He's, like, into luchadors. He meets this other little girl who's into, like, Macho Man. And then it's like this whole movie about – it's like this little story about bullying. And then it's like about wrestling, and he goes and finds out about Macho Man. It's super cute, and it was like pretty cool because we were talking about The Wrestler recently. So it's kind of had the similar vibes where it was like wrestling in a different kind of movie. And it was like – it was cute. But I don't be watching short films a lot. I just seen a luchador, and I clicked on it. And it was like 11 minutes, so I watched it. So it was pretty good, though. That's my 11-minute review of the –
I'm surprised the movie didn't end with "Brought to you by Be a Star."
but it was cooler. It was edgier than that. Like, it was about bullying, but like the kids were bullying each other, and that's how they became friends. Because it was wrestling. They were in their heads. They were booking like heel in the face, and it was pretty cool. It was a cool little story because they're like they were like 11-year-old kids or something. So it was cute. My little girl watched it with me. She's 3 years old, and she was, like, all into it. So that's also cool.
I found the movie I was talking about, guys. If you got a chance to Google this shit, and anybody out there listening in Radio Land, Google the movie Shutter Speed. Shutter Speed movie. This is what I was talking about.
I know.
You found it?
I know.
And, I'm gonna watch this shit this weekend, and I'll do a little YouTube review on it. But yeah, it was fucking horrible, and it's a cop Sting, Steve Borden.
We'll all be waiting
and his
for that
brother.
Review.
What's that?
We'll all be waiting for that review.
Yeah, Sting and his estranged brother infiltrate the seedier side of LA's fashion speed to find his kidnapped fiance.
Sweet.
Ooh.
I got two more, guys.
Horrible.
Two more, and then we're done. And they're both probably going to be equally as horrible. But here we go. I digress, and nevertheless. You know, it's hard to fathom, guys. But there was a time when John Cena was having trouble getting over because he seemed to be lacking the it factor. Now, that all changed with the Halloween episode of SmackDown in 2002.
Yeah,
you're in a backstage costume party, which I've heard different stories of this. I heard here it's a backstage costume party, and then I heard that they were actually on the road in another country in the bus. You know, and when they travel from city to city, they all travel together on the bus. And they were doing a deal where they were rapping and shit and some shit like that. And John Cena went and got involved. And he started fucking shutting people down. And there was some higher-up producers and shit in there. And went and asked him if, you know, he wanted to fucking switch up his game. And he did, and the master of Thugonomics was born. So the master of Thugonomics was cooking a pound of bacon, guys. He was like a Vanilla Ice type of heel guy.
Yeah.
So anybody?
Yeah. We had him the fans started cheering him.
It was born out of that one gimmick? It was just born out of like a Halloween episode?
Yeah. What happened was they were hanging out in the backstage and shit, and this is what I had initially read, that they were hanging out in a bus, and they were between, you know, city to city, from somewhere in Germany to somewhere else in Germany or whatever the fuck. You know, they'd be back there hanging out and shit, playing cards or whatever, and fucking, you know, talking shit and rapping, you know, freestyling and shit.
Yeah.
And John Cena fucking joined in on that, and, you know, the John Cena character was born right there. But nevertheless, he came out in the Halloween episode of a SmackDown in 2002, Christian.
He still sucked. I don't give a fuck about the rapping. I never liked it.
He still sucked.
Still sucked.
That was 19 years ago, guys. How old is John Cena now? Does anybody know?
Probably in his 50s.
Nah, I can find out.
Bro. Listen, John,
yeah,
you're going to want to do this,
well,
man. You're going to be a white rapper, bro. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to get over with the crowd. I came up with that, by the way. That's what I said. I told John Cena he was going to be a white rapper. Everything changed from then on point.
He's 44 years old, which is kind of crazy when you think of it in the sense that Edge is 47 years old. Like, in my mind, it seems like Edge has been wrestling for way longer. And I guess he had. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. He's 44.
There was a clip that came on Facebook a couple of last week or so where it's Edge. And he was it was Bret Hart, I think, like on like Donahue or something. And, like, Edge was there as a teenager in the crowd. Yeah, that's right. That's it. Yeah.
That was this.
Oh, he was like,
but yeah, you seen that? I just seen it pop up again, actually. I'll share it in the text group after this so y'all can watch it. But it's mildly interesting where Edge looks like a baby, dude. He's like a stick figure in that video.
Yeah.
Super young.
And I love Bret Hart's response. What's your advice to? He goes, what's your advice to these young professional wrestlers? And Bret Hart says, I don't know. Just go get some training, I guess.
Well, my family had a school, and I got to train at my school in my house. So, like, you know, that was my thing. And it's not as easy nowadays. And I'm like, what the fuck is not as easy nowadays? These guys wrestled for the same company you did, dickhead.
Yeah, fucker. And they did it better.
Yeah,
they did it better than you.
In Canada,
they did it better than you.
Stampede Wrestling or whatever. Like, I'm just saying, like, they were the same shit.
Yeah, they did it better than you.
He may have been having fruity drinks. Who'd like...
Stop ordering fruity drinks. It's fucking embarrassing. I came all the way from hell for this. Somebody told me this guy was good. What the fuck?
Yeah, I had to come up with something, guys. By the way, fuck you, Albert, for fucking putting this shit. I had so much stress this week, but it fucking worked out for the best. So I digress.
Listen, I'm gonna tell you something. It's gonna be a great episode next week. We're going to do a Halloween theme episode. You get yourself some Halloween samples. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be so over with the fucking That was my idea.
It was fucking great, bro. Stephanie McMahon. Now, I'm not too sure if this actually happened was Halloween or not, but I seem to remember it vaguely or somehow. It's in my mind. That we had, it was really, really creepy, whereas Vince McMahon likes to call it, you know, family entertainment. Because it's no secret that McMahon has long, long considered doing incest angles.
Yeah, I know where you're going with this. I know where you're going with this.
Of course, the proposed angle I'm talking about it was what was going to happen was it was going to be the reveal that he was the father of his daughter Stephanie's baby.
That was
now
a
now an alternate pitch was that
ew.
His son Shane was the daddy.
Ew.
Fortunately, Stephanie nixed both of those ideas. Oh my God, man!
Do you think that was really a pitch?
Probably.
Is that just a wrestling rumor that's gone through the years? I've heard that before.
Yeah, I don't know, bro. It just all sounds, you know. I don't know, man.
It would be something he would do, though.
This is good.
Of course. Of course, the closest he ever got, you know, was when he. Now you're gonna remember this one too. Now, the closest Vince ever got to realizing WWE's version of a taboo scenario. Now, this did take place in Halloween 2002 SmackDown. A man in a Vince McMahon mask. Summoned Stephanie, who was dressed as a witch in a very, very low-cut dress, summons her right into his office. Now, the man in the mask revealed himself to be Stephanie's rival, Eric fucking Bischoff. Stephanie tried to slap him, but Bischoff caught her hand and forcibly kissed her. Stephanie resisted at first, but then seemed to like it. Oh my God.
You know how Eric Bischoff got through that segment?
How's that?
Does anybody know how Eric Bischoff got through that segment?
How's that?
No.
He just pretended Stephanie McMahon was Ted Turner.
Now, here's the really scary part about this shit, guys. WWE never followed up on this major development. Never. They just let it go.
Oh, but they did.
That's so funny.
They did it another way where Eric Bischoff kissed Linda McMahon.
Oh, fucking A, lay it on us.
Eric invaded their house one night during a Raw show, and he grabs Linda, and he fucking kisses her, too. And Vince has He had no problem
with
it.
Dude, this is Vince McMahon cuckolding himself, dude. This is that taboo storyline. Vince is a sick dude. Something's going on. Vince is letting his rival kiss his daughter and wife on TV. That's crazy to me. That's funny.
That's like Stu Hart. Humble yourself.
Kevin, stop it.
While they were getting their ass beat.
There was another segment years later on where he let Randy kiss her, Stephanie, when he DDT'd her unconsciously, too. That was fucking weird.
Oh, yeah. Man, I remember that now that you bring it up. That's disturbing shit.
I'm creeped out. Of all the Halloween stories you told tonight, the creepiest one to me was Bischoff kissing Stephanie.
Here's another horrible one, how sick and demented this guy is, all right? And I want to put a disclaimer on people right now when I'm about to tell you this story. This was on
ESPN.
I want a disclaimer, this is for mature audiences only. So if your kids are listening to this, I'm serious. This is fucked up shit. This happened on a fucking SmackDown. So, disclaimer, we warned you. So there was a segment, right, where Vince McMahon and Paul Heyman were in a locker room in an office, and Vince ordered Paul Heyman to bring the Undertaker here tonight, right? That night, 2003. Vince was feuding against Taker in their match up and coming for Survivor Series for the Buried Alive match. So in this segment, Vince got so angry. He started saying things that were terrible. Fucked up shit, he said on this segment. He said that he wanted Undertaker's house to burn down. He said he wanted his children to be kidnapped. And this is the most fucked up vile shit he said in this whole segment. He said he wanted his wife to get raped by a bunch of bikers.
Oh, I remember that. Man, that's some fucked up shit.
This was on TV, live.
I remember that.
Oh, God. That's terrible. But
that's how they got away with the entertainment thing.
Comparatively, like soap operas, if they were doing storytelling and stuff, and they were doing like if I'm gonna justify some of these wacky ass fucking storylines and horrible storylines they were doing, soap operas all through the fucking 80s, 90s, 70s were doing like storylines like that too. So just because it's pro wrestling, but it was a kids show, I don't know. You know, it's they don't need to fucking talk about that on the wrestling, but. I mean, I could see because they show that on TV, on soap operas and other things.
Yeah.
This was 2003, though. This was in the 90s.
So that they were fine. I mean, as far as like, but like, did they have to go there? No. Did they go? You know, could they? Probably.
I had an odd thought here. I want to share with you guys, I'll put a disclaimer on this. I'll put a disclaimer on this thought too. All right, we're talking about Eric Bischoff and. You know, Vince McMahon making him kiss Linda McMahon and kiss Stephanie McMahon. What if AEW ever gets bought out by WWE? You think he's going to make Tony Khan make out with Shane?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We can only hope.
Stop it. Somebody give me a stop it. Give me a stop it, Chuck. Please.
Stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
Stop. Thank
on.
You.
Stop it. I'm going to use the stop it as rewards now. But I digress. Guys, we still have plenty of show to go. And with that being said, I think it's time we go ahead and take a fucking little breaky poo here. Because the show is about to go off the fucking rails. And so let's go ahead and get through this break. And then we'll be right back. After these words on Fatal 4-Way Radio. From the Friendly Fire Cigar Studio in Houston, Texas, you're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more. Friendly Fire Cigars. Come on in and enjoy the game. Come on in and relax with friends. Come on in and light them up at Friendly Fire Cigars, where they carry top brands such as Arturo Puente, DAO, Romeo and Julieta, Avo, Monte Cristo, Ashton, and many, many more. Friendly Fire Cigars, where they have amenities such as comfortable leather seating, 4 HD TVs with 4 separate cable receivers, Netflix, Wi-Fi, cigar locker rental, patio seating, and much, much more. Where do you want to go? Friendly Fire Cigars. 1905 South Derry Ashford. Friendly Fire Cigars. Get there.
people talking out their heads. I've never understood a damn thing that they share. From word to action, never knowing what they're about. I guess I'll have to chew them up and spit them out. And I said,
so you want to talk about politics, right? But you also want to talk about bears and some other newsworthy items you may have missed. Well, hey, join me, Chuck Amok, and the Unusual Suspects as we get down and dirty on the Full Tilt Boogie Show, a show where we talk about some of the craziest things going on in the Beltway and beyond. The Boogie, that's Friday night, right here on the World Generation Podcast Network. Check your local news. Join me once again, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, sitting here with Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Inspected, Peacemaker Kevier West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. Guys, I think it's time. I mean, we got to talk. We never fucking talk about AEW as much as I would like to. But I think we got to give it. We got to give it precedence tonight. It's time. And now, the resident watchdog, Christian from Philly, with AEW Weekly. So it's time.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Halloween edition of AEW Weekly, where we talk about Halloween shit in AEW. Yeah.
It's time.
So, we begin on the AEW Weekly with the fact that CM Punk will face Bobby Fish tomorrow night when CM Punk will have his first ever match in Dynamite. He already had his match in Rampage, now Dynamite for the first time. So, yeah, that's going to be the highlight of tomorrow night on Dynamite. Any thoughts on that?
My first thought is, you know, we have Vince Russo talking a lot of shit about how CM Punk has shit the bed in AEW. And, you know, I gotta agree with this. I'm not saying it's him. Maybe it is him. Who knows? Last week we had the, you know, the big dog, Roman Reigns, saying that CM Punk had lost the step. I mean, here we are this week. We had a fucking, for AEW, we had a replay of SmackDown beat AEW in the ratings. I mean, where are we at with this? CM Punk,
their fault.
Is his fucking luster gone? Are they? I mean, you know, we have all this fucking great group of talent in AEW right now, and we're using CM Punk against Bobby Fish. I understand they want to put him over and shit, the long vision and shit, but what happened to giving the fans what they want, Christian?
Well, it's because nobody watches wrestling on Saturdays, so that's why the turnout wasn't really good, you know? People don't watch wrestling in the weekends. They only watch it when there's a pay-per-view on fucking Sundays. They don't watch free televised shows on Saturday, so that's why the ratings are down for those shows.
Yeah. I mean, they're going up against like fucking Becker reruns or something. You know what I mean? Like Saturday night.
Yeah, that's what's interesting is that it was Saturday night, and WWE had already ran the show Friday night, and here they are with a repeat on Saturday night, and even then they beat them in the ratings. Kevin?
Well, on CM, I had to step away for a second, but on the CM Punk thing, like, I think it's too early to tell. Like, I think that Punk. I think I'm happy with Punk and Fish. I think that's going to be cool. And I think Bobby will be able to make Punk look better than, like, his previous opponents or whatever. Not to say that Darby didn't make it, but, like, I don't know. I just think
I like
that Bobby,
the other
I'm
guy,
excited.
Bunkhouse Brown, or what's his name?
Who's that?
The other guy that went up against Punk, Brickhouse Brown, or?
Wahops.
There you go,
yeah.
That guy. That guy was badass.
Team Taz.
But I digress.
Yeah.
Kevin?
But no, and I think it's too early to tell, like, what, like, we got to give all these guys time to settle in AEW and give the AEW time, like, a little bit more time for the lore to settle with all these new wrestlers. They just absorbed, like, a bunch of new people, and it's got to take a little time for them to settle into storylines that make more sense. And I think this is going in the right direction. Every match I watched from AEW, I was like, I thought that everybody was cool and that they looked cool and that there was no, like, really damaging booking going on. But I'll let Christian continue.
All right. So up next, they had the first rounds of the AEW World Championship Eliminator tournaments. It was Bryan Danielson versus Dustin Rhodes in a very, very great match. You know, Dustin Rhodes, putting those people to shame by wrestling great in these matches. Yes, it was kind of predictable, but guess what? I would rather have predictability than terrible fucking matches unlike other fucking tournaments that we've seen recently. So, yeah, it was a great fucking match. And at his age, you know, he puts all the other people in WWE to shame. So there you have it. Thoughts?
I agree. The show was, I just barely like finished it all before, like I got off work today. So, I mean, but I was hot on every match and every storyline and like the Gold Dust thing, I was hyped for it. Like not Gold Dust, forgive me, you know, but that's how I remember him.
I love
I was
Gold
like,
Dust.
Cool, we're getting Daniel Bryan versus Gold Dust. This is a WWE match, but it was better than what they did in WWE. And Dustin Rhodes is a cool-ass character. The Rhodes brothers' movesets are so badass. Like, I love all the little nuanced moves that both of those guys do. I don't know. But, yeah, Bryan, too. I think Bryan's like Punk. Go back to what I said. I think that he needs more time to, like, settle in. And I don't think he's going to win the tournament.
I think he is going to win. I saw clips of it, and I thought it was good. I think, like Kevin said, it was definitely better than what they did back in WWE because it seemed like a little bit more comfortable, you know what I mean, and able to do things without being overproduced, you know? But I just wish fucking – sorry, excuse me. I just wish Dustin would either, like, you know, do away with a half face paint or, you know, something. There's too many wrestlers in AEW that have half their face painted. I think it's
dude, I was telling that to Kitty Teixeira a few weeks ago. What the fuck with these guys using half of their fucking face painted? Malakai Black.
There's like five people. There's like five or six people, dude. It's no
That's
shit.
Too many.
But, you know, it's funny, too, because I think Thunder Rosa was the one who started that. Thunder Rosa's been doing that for years on the indies.
Yeah.
Her character is half dead.
I think Dustin probably did it too. I think he probably did it before, like in the past, maybe not as an all the time thing, but I'm sure, I don't know. And like, he was definitely from day one with AEW doing it.
Yeah.
Nah. Rosa probably did it. And Darby Allin, bro, and when Malakai Black came in, I've seen him do promos where he has a black eye and he has like his cheekbone kind of done. And so he looks like he has half a skull face. So that was the first time I noticed that. I was like, wait a second. Thunder Rosa, Darby Allin, and this dude Malachi Black all got half a skull face.
If I was a producer, I would, hey, two or three of you guys got to cut it out. You know what I mean?
Either go for sure or
not, because that's kind of like weird. You know what I mean?
I'm starting to see a lot of shit in AEW that, like, you know, it fucking gnaws at me. But we'll keep that safeguarded until I explode.
They're still putting it out because you know, it would stuff like that wouldn't happen in WWE. They'd be like, they don't even like people have the same like last name or the same first name. I'm surprised that they let Johnny Nitro keep his name because there's another John in the company too. You know what I mean? Like, it's just one of those things where it's like they're kind of still feeling it out. But if I was a producer in AEW, I'd be like, Dustin, paint your face totally. Malachi, you're fucking, wear some fucking contact lenses or some shit. You know what I mean? Like, something. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta differentiate it because it kind of makes it look like they're together, but they're not together, if you will. Like, these, like,
which one of these guys is going to start getting tattoos on their face?
I don't know.
Hell yeah.
Until one of them starts getting tattoos all up on their face, Post Malone style and shit, I can't take my answer seriously.
Murder Hall.
Until they start doing it Louis style, Beville, Texas, I ain't taking none of this seriously. Not a goddamn
Louis, if you're listening for some odd reason, give us a call. Give us a call, Louis.
But I digress.
Another continuing off with the weekly. We have to go something very serious right here. It's something very serious that happened on Saturday's show. In a match between Eddie Kingston and Lance Archer, it's very serious.
Ay por Dios.
Yeah.
That means, so, oh my God.
In a match between Eddie Kingston and Lance Archer, there was a certain spot that happened during this match. Eddie Kingston was lying on the floor, and Lance Archer was going to do a moonsault on the top rope. Of course, Eddie Kingston dodged. Well, that, hold your gasp. Eddie Kingston dodged like he was supposed to, but Lance Archer did the flip, and he landed on his head.
He overflipped. It was his own move that he failed to execute.
Yeah.
Having done that move countless times, you can imagine how many times he's done this move.
It can happen.
It can absolutely happen.
Yeah, he hit his head, and the ref was checking on him. They were checking on him. He was getting up, but he kept falling down a little bit. And so
I watched this live as it happened. They were checking on him. He rolled out to the ground, to the outside of the ring.
Yeah.
They even came to check on him. Guys in black shirts and shit came to check on him. The cameras were on him. He was clearly dazed, but he wanted to go back in and finish the match, and so he did. And they allowed him to go back in, and it was a quick roll up after that.
Yeah.
It's not like he, you know, overstrained himself or whatever. Although, if he had, you know, done further damage, like collapsed in the ring while he was trying to execute the simple roll up or whatever, we'd be talking about a different situation right now.
I think he has a concussion.
Was it right to let him go back in to execute the fucking little cheesy roll-up that they did? Because, I mean, it happened right away. He went in the ring.
Yes,
it was like one move, roll-up, bam, 1, 2, 3, done.
I questioned
whether fucking the guy was scheduled to win. The guy that won was scheduled to win. Christian, do we know who was scheduled to win?
I think in terms of booking, I think Kingston was supposed to win anyway because Lance Archer is not in the title picture, and without Jake, he would have been screwed. So I think Eddie was supposed to win anyway, but for the safety for Lance Archer, they had to get it right off right away. They couldn't risk it, so they did the quick roll-up for safety reasons. So I think Kingston was supposed to win anyway because they did a backstage segment. Yeah.
Should they have done the roll-up segment at all, or should they have just let it be?
Let it be, man. I think the roll-up's like a fucking cop-out, bro. And that's just the roll-up's being used way too many times.
So you
in
think
wrestling.
They should just stop the match,
especially
match
WWE.
Stoppage. Boom, match stoppage right there, head injury, possible head injury.
It makes the guy look super weak, dude, because these guys are in there DDTing and kicking each other in the head nonstop. So we're supposed to believe all of a sudden, oh, he did one move and all of a sudden he hurt his head? But y'all just got done triple
knee. No, he actually failed to execute his own move.
I feel you. I'm just saying, if they start calling matches based on like shit like that, if they start just calling a match based off of an injury, then that's kayfabe out the window for sure. Because these guys are kicking each other in the head and kneeing each other in the head non-fucking-stop.
Let me ask you guys real quick while we're on this topic. I would like to definitely know, because it was recently revealed, you know how Sasha Banks, the women's one of the four horsewomen, allegedly from WWE.
Mm-hmm.
It was recently they asked her why she did not appear at SummerSlam, and she no-sold it, like complete fucking no-sell. Christian, you remember what it was she said? What did she say?
I don't know. I don't remember.
She said,
just
recently this week, I was hoping you could back me up on it. But she was like, what do you mean? I mean, it's just total fucking no-sell of the whole thing. Like, it never happened or, like, I don't know. The whole thing is fucking weird.
She doesn't want to say it. She doesn't want to say it because, you know, she had COVID. She didn't want to say it.
Like, it's my business or some shit. Like, you know, I don't know what it was. It sounded like a fucking cop-out. You want to use that word, cop-out. That's what it sounded like.
We all know she had COVID. There's no point in denying it, but if she doesn't want to say it, she doesn't want to say it. More power to her. But, you know, just say you were gone for a few days. Just admit that you were gone. Don't fucking pretend that you weren't there. Don't pretend like you were in fucking catering. There has to be a reason. Like, come on, man. That's not realistic. That sounds robotic. Her doing that makes her not look like a real human being. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Sasha, at one point, Sasha was, like, one of the more natural babyface, like, kind of, like, the fans are drawn to her. So now when you have her talking bullshit, nobody really gives a shit. Or, like, if you have her disappearing and coming back and not being believable... Like, she used to be more believable. I see what you're saying. I think Becky, too, dude. I don't like any of these chicks. You know, the only chick I like is the one who had all the heat this week, Charlotte. Charlotte Flair is, like, one of the only chicks. And Mandy Rose, shout out to her, too. But Charlotte Flair is doing good work. And fucking, honestly, like, it's just crazy. I don't know. It's crazy how that shit's going with Charlotte.
Well,
and these other chicks.
She's a monster.
We took a wild turn from AEW to WWE.
Yeah.
Was there anything else that we needed to cover in AEW, Christian, from Philly?
Yes, there is one more. Malakai Black versus Cody Rhodes in the main event. Another great match.
I assure you, we're going to get back to WWE.
I want to personally talk about that. But yeah. So, yeah, the third time's the charm. Of course, mm-hmm. Cody Rhodes got booed out of the building again. They don't like him. I don't know why. I honestly don't know why they're booing Cody. He puts Malakai Black over twice. What more do you want from the poor man, all right? Like, my God, he put him over twice. And they still booing
telling
him.
Telling that story, dude.
I think
they're telling that story.
I think it's overexposure, bros. of Cody Rhodes. I think it's overexposure,
I think Cody Rhodes doesn't deserve that. I don't think Cody Rhodes deserves the booze. I think the only reason they're booing him is because they think he's like a Triple H type character, like an overexposed or whatever else. He's just a fucking regular wrestler on these fucking TV shows.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like, he's putting these people over. What more do they want these people?
I think there's a bigger picture. I think that they're going with, like, changing his character. They're going to change his character again, and I don't know how. I don't know what they're going to do, but, like, if they go back
here's
to
my thing.
That makes sense, but I want it to be different
than
what he's done
before.
Cody's
Arn Anderson, like, it's too much for me. He's pulling out guns on people or whatever the fuck. And I mean,
it's so
to
cool.
me, it's like, it's to me, it's overdone. It's overdone. Like, I've seen, and don't get me wrong, I'm a huge, huge Arn Anderson fan. but it's overdone. It's overdone.
Are we getting any calls, Chuck? I'm sorry, I need to cut you off there. Are we getting any calls? I'm expecting a very special
call. Not a goddamn one.
There's a couple of people that might surprise you that might just call in here in a minute, and we'll see if they call in and give us their thoughts on, I don't know, wrestlers with face tats.
But
call in,
Chris, can you stop?
If they call, I want them to sing along with. Yeah.
Oh God, that was good.
All right.
I felt like Dan Severn was haunting me. That was a good Halloween little segment there. But shout out to two very special people listening in tonight. Louis Alvarado, I'm trying to get him to call in right now. Of course,
Louis.
Talking about FaceCast.
Louis
from Texas. Another one that I'm trying to get to call in right now is none other than Soul Train Jones himself, Virgil, who's out there in listener land right now, supposedly. And we can get these guys to call in to talk about whatever they want to talk about right now. We'll get them some shirts.
In the meantime,
and now, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the Swami Christian from Philly with this week's WWE Report. Swami?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the WWE Report Halloween edition. And what better way to kick off this report than a horror show that occurred last Friday night, the main event segment, between the title exchange between Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair. Now, this was stupid in itself at the beginning, but that's not the whole point. The whole point is the fact that Charlotte Flair went into business for herself because that's all she does. She's a spoiled
Christian.
Brat. I'm right here. Can you all hear me?
Right.
I'm right
Charlotte
here.
Charlotte Flair, what? The whole point was what? Charlotte Flair, what?
We can hear the whole point, Christian.
The whole point is Charlotte Flair went into business for herself. She was a brat.
Oh, yeah. She did, man. She's had heat, and that comes up with the segment Beef in the WWE Women's Locker Room, because there's beef going on right now with the women. The freaking women got beef.
Horrible.
Christian, tell us about it.
Horrible. So song, the whole segment, right? Becky was going after the title. Charlotte, unprofessional, dropped the belt like a child. She drops it acting like a spoiled
brat to the ground.
She did it purposely.
It was on purpose. You can clearly tell it was done purposely.
I'm sorry, but Charlotte Flair sucks. I'm sorry. She's a horrible person. She's let her ego go on her head. She's terrible, bro. She's the most unprofessional woman I've ever seen. She's right up there with Tessa Blanchard at this point in her career. So, and then when Becky gave her the SmackDown title, she disrespected that title, too. She dropped it on the floor, too. So she disrespected both the titles in that same night. And then afterwards, after the show went off the air, there was fucking fighting backstage. Not physical, but shouting match. There was a shouting match between Becky and Charlotte. So fucking bad that security had to escort Charlotte out of the fucking building. But it gets fucking worse. Sonya Deville wanted to beat the shit out of Charlotte because of that segment. So right now, everybody, Charlotte has isolated herself. None of the female workers want to work with her no more. None of her friends recognize her anymore. She's become so dissocialized. She's in her own little world. She's the most unprofessional woman ever. The fans can't fucking stand her. Nobody can fucking stand her. It's like nobody wants her in the wrestling business. Everybody in the wrestling business haters.
Dude. They're saying she possibly wants to do this to get fired on her own. You know, to go ahead and get fired.
If I may, like you're saying all these things and you're making all these assumptions, but I'm fucking popping for Charlotte Flair left and right, dude. I think good for her. When I saw this shit, I was like, this is cool. I was like, fuck those belts. These belts don't mean shit. Look at what they're doing. They're standing in the middle of the ring, trading them for no damn good reason. You know what I mean? Like she deserves this shit more than anyone.
Wait a minute.
What I just got done saying. Look at what they did to Becky, the man, and all their talent. Every week here I am shitting on WWE talent now. But they took their heroes and they made them all shitty. And Charlotte's the only one who deserves to go on and still be badass somewhere else.
Bro,
if I may sound like a mark
you,
for a minute,
you,
if I
what
mark
you
out,
sound like right now is baby.
I just think the whole segment was bullshit, and I think even if Charlotte was frustrated, then yeah, like they talked about, it made me think about the brass ring, and they were supposed to grab this brass ring years ago. It's already years ago they were talking about that, and here you got the champion in the ring. And they're just treating everybody like shit. It's just a dumbass storyline, and they're not giving her anything to work with. They're not giving them. And, like, basic fans love it. People still love it. There's people out there that are watching it that like it. But I don't know. I see it for what it is, and I just think that Charlotte is right. Like, I think they should all act like that more.
No, it's unprofessional.
619-924-0815. If you're listening, give us a call on Fatal 4-Way Radio.
Listen, I think at the end of the day, this is all Vince McMahon's fault, all right? He created a fucking monster with Charlotte Flair. He created this Frankenstein, all right? This is all his fucking fault. This is nepotism at its finest. This is what happens when you fucking give this woman too many title reigns and thinks she's the biggest, best thing in the company. She's not even that good of a wrestler, okay? When you see her do over-the-top moonsaults once, you think that's cool. Seen it 1,000 times, it loses its fucking impact, all right? Like, fuck Charlotte Flair at this point, all right? I don't care about
her. More like
she's
more like a... Maybe I would say that I'd compare more to like a Hogan, how these kind of guys, old school wrestlers would wrestle, because she's like slow, old school style. She does some drop kicks here and there. She does like the big moonsault. But other than that, she's just a huge chick who's whooping on her ass. So that's pretty cool. But
cool.
And then she's Ric Flair's daughter. Like, I'm going to mark out for the lineage of her. I'm not ready to bury Charlotte yet. I think they all deserve better, but I don't think that it was necessarily 100% work. I think that the shit gets played up on the internet, and that a lot of the articles, like,
like you said, Sonya probably was fucking yelling at her. They were all yelling at each other in Gorilla. But I don't think anybody was about to fight. I don't know.
I'm not defending Becky either, because she's also a problem, okay? She's no fucking hero, all right? Let's get something straight. I'm not defending Becky Cringe, because she's also the fucking problem, too. Who does she think? She claims to be a fucking hero, right? Well, she had the opportunity to talk about not doing a 26-second squash match to Bianca, ruining a fucking momentum, all right? She had all the opportunity to do that, but she didn't fucking do it. She only cares about her fucking agenda and her making herself look good, so she's just as bad as fucking Charlotte Flair, Becky, you fucking cringe. You're just as fucking bad. In fact, all the fucking horse women are just as fucking bad. They bury every fucking woman in the women's division.
No. Wait a minute. I actually saw an article where I clicked on it, and I saw that Becky wanted to put over Bianca Belair.
Uh-huh. Well, she should have tried harder.
She wanted to put her over, but that wasn't the plan that they had. And so, you know, she just has to eat it. She has to do what they tell her to do. Unfortunately, you don't always get what you want. And therein lies the problem. You see, Christian, my man, you called me over the weekend, I think it was Saturday or Sunday, talking about Impact Wrestling and how they didn't give the fans what they wanted. Oh, my God, they didn't give the fans what they wanted. You know what? Fuck the fans. They don't always get what they want.
I didn't say they didn't give the fans what they wanted. I said I heard
that
the show was shit.
Yeah, the show was shit, and so-and-so didn't win. Fuck TNT or fuck Impact Wrestling for not giving the fans what they wanted. And it's like, no, the fans can't always get what they want.
Yeah.
That makes it too predictable.
Mm-hmm.
You got to fucking smart them.
I wasn't really upset with Impact. I just couldn't give a fuck about Impact. Impact was always garbage, so I'm not really upset with Impact that much.
I saw that Mickey James was the new Impact Knockouts champion, and I just laughed. I was like, oh, man. You know, I was just like, here we are again.
No. Well, let me tell you what I see. I see something different. I see them trying to give the title relevancy. They're trying to squeeze everything they can out of Mickey James. All right?
Mm.
And they're trying to make the title relevant again so that they can place somebody, you know, so that they can put somebody over. Obviously, that's what they're trying to do with their stardom. But anyway, I digress.
We're going on with the report.
I just think that Charlotte's been happy. I think she's trying to ruffle some feathers so that way her release is a little bit easier.
Like
I think she's going to AEW. I really
like
do.
That. It seems that way, dude. And why wouldn't she want that? However, she's locked into a fucking multi-year deal. Like, she's got 3 or 4 years left on her deal.
Oh, well, she could.
So,
she could
Vince
just,
McMahon, if he wants, he can sideline her.
You know
they
what?
Should have
she
fucking thought about that. When they signed all this talent to a multi-year deal and then they started treating them all like shit, they should have thought about that. These people need to act out so that they get treated how they want at work and how they can fucking do their art form without fucking being throttled like they are or whatever. I don't know. They're just the stupid booking, just splitting the rosters, all that fucked up the storyline. Yeah, the Bianca Belair thing fucked it up, but really just the draft. The fact that they had to do this thing when they traded the belts in the ring. It's so stupid.
You know, bro,
they should just have one win.
This is WWE trying to get away from stars altogether, the way they're trying to quickly bring up an NXT roster and trying to quickly make stars out of these fellows from NXT, okay? And I feel like they're just trying to fucking hush or hurry up the people on their deals, get them the fuck out of the way so that they can move in a totally different direction is what I feel like they're doing.
Yeah.
I feel like they're going to try to do nothing to retain Finn Balor, to retain Kevin Owens, to retain Sami Zayn. All these contracts that are coming up, there was another one that I saw recently that was coming up.
Johnny Gargano.
Yes, there you go. Gargano, I feel like they're going to do nothing to try to retain these contracts. And if they do, they're going to do it with the said person in contract well understood of his role of taking a back seat and being nothing more than a fucking jobber. I feel like WWE is going in a totally different way right now where they want to be at the control of everything. They want to control all of their characters. Their characters have gotten away from them in a way that they can no longer control them. Their characters have fandom that they don't want anymore. Unless if they own your complete rights to your character, I don't think WWE wants a part of it anymore.
Yeah. So, following the report, we go to Monday Night Raw last night. The new era, the season premiere of Monday Night Raw, new era equals rematches.
Stop.
Rematches.
The new fucking
new
era. It's the same shit. It's the same shit. I was like, holy fuck, I'm so glad I didn't go. I would have been sitting there pissed off the whole time. Don't get me wrong. To see RK-Bro would have been new. It would have been new, right? But fuck, I've already seen it on TV so many times. It's just fucking regurgitation.
How the fuck can people get excited?
Everything is getting regurgitated.
How the fuck can people get excited over seeing Carmella versus Liv Morgan again? How the fuck can people get excited over seeing fucking Doudrop versus Selena Vega again? How the fuck can people get excited watching fucking Bearcat Lee face Cedric Alexander in a no-nothing fucking match? How can people get excited watching Damian Priest have a new gimmick where he's fucking Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde or some shit? He has two personalities. He's the U.S. champion and beating the shit out of fucking T-Bar like and ends in a fucking DQ. How the fuck does this make a new fucking era? By the way, the advertised match between AJ Styles and Omos got canceled. For whatever reason, AJ wasn't there that night, so I don't know. Maybe he's fucking injured or he has something serious going on. So fuck this fucking Raw. This was a waste of time. The only good thing that happened on this fucking Raw was that there was a fatal four-way ladder match between four fucking losers who doesn't deserve a fucking WWE title shot, by the way. It was a match between Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, Rey Mysterio, and Finn Balor. You knew fucking Kevin Owens wasn't going to fucking win because he's leaving. You knew Finn Balor ain't fucking winning because he's leaving too. You knew Rey Mysterio wasn't fucking winning because he's a fucking loser. So the only option, the only choice you had to make was Seth Rollins fucking winning because he was the obvious fucking option. But I don't understand how he fucking... I honestly don't understand how he fucking deserves to win because he lost at a pay-per-view. So I don't know how the fuck he's a number one contender for a title anyway, but there you go. Seth Rollins is your number one contender for a future title shot. Guess what? It ain't happening anytime soon probably because he has to wait two fucking months because if you haven't heard already, there ain't going to be no TLC pay-per-view this December. There's going to be a pay-per-view on January 1st, so that means either Seth is going to face Biggie at Raw. So that means two ways, right? That means Rollins is going to face Big E on Raw for a WWE title shot, or he has to wait fucking 2 months like a schmuck for a January 1st pay-per-view. So So there you go. There you fucking go.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Awful. Horrible.
I'm glad I didn't watch. I'm glad I didn't watch. I'm still not watching WWE, and I feel better for
it. I mean, I watched it, but when you put it like that. I mean, you know, the matches themselves were good. You can't take away from the fucking stars in this point. They're just doing their job, but that's all they're doing is their job. They're being micro-fucking-managed. And there's no fucking personality.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. I noticed Zelina Vega, my cousin, who, by the way, I knew was going to win. I knew she was going to win. But I couldn't say anything because, you know, she's my cousin and all. But I knew she was going to win. But I digress. But, yeah, she's doing a different deal now where she's speaking with a different voice. She's, like, more sophisticated. I don't know if you guys picked up on that.
Horrible.
But, wow. Yeah, that's right. She's sophisticated. Or something.
Horrible.
I don't know. I don't know what the hell she's doing.
Why do every King of the Ring giving have to talk like this? Can they talk like a fucking normal human being? Why is it that they have to do this shit every time they're King of the Ring or Queen of the Ring? They can't talk like a normal fucking person. Why do I have to do that shit? It's crazy.
Right.
It doesn't work. Nobody fucking likes it.
Is Xavier Woods talking like that?
Yeah, he was.
Why did fucking Riddle have to come out on a camel?
I don't fucking know. Well, we'll get to that. That's
why did they have camels? Why did they have camels on the side of the fucking stage the whole time?
Because
it's racist.
Because the camel's the highest animal you can sit on and ride. So Riddle wants to be as high as possible, you know?
Oh my
yeah,
God.
Well, you know what? That's the perfect segue because tonight, ladies and gentlemen, right now is the predictions show game. Who won the predictions for Crown Jewel? Are you ready?
I think I'm ready.
We'll see about that. We'll see.
I said I think
all
I
right.
won.
Would you please?
I said I think I won.
Whoa. Let's find out. All right. So first, RK-Bro is for the Raw Tag Title Shot. We'll go with that one since we started talking about Matt Riddle anyway. Okay. The first one is RK-Bro versus AJ Omos. Minister said RK-Bro would win, so he gets a point. I said RK-Bro would win. I get a point. Kevin says RK-Bro would win, so he gets a point. But Albert, for some reason, picked AJ and Omos, so he doesn't get a point. Albert, why did you say AJ and Omos?
Because I felt it, man. I felt it, dude. And if I was Vince Russo and looking at it,
well, you should have followed your gut, and you should have chose the other team.
Right. Whatever, man.
All right. Up next is the Queen of the Ring. Now, Minister, I gave you a fucking option last time. I told you to pick your cousin, and you did. But then you changed your mind, bro. You picked Doudrop. You picked Doudrop. So you don't get a point.
I had to sell it, bro.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I had to fucking sell it, dude. I had to sell that shit. I couldn't give it away, man. I couldn't give it away. My cousin, you know. I'll take, you know what? Somebody's got to carry the fucking cross. And it might as well be me.
Yeah.
I'll carry that cross.
So, I picked Selena, so I get a point.
Yeah.
Kevin picked Selena, so he gets a point. But Albert Albert, why did you pick Doudrop? You don't get a point. Why did you pick Doudrop?
Because I felt it, man. I felt it, and I was going with Doudrop, man. I was going to Doudrop high, bro.
All right.
You should have known better, Albert. You should have known better. By the way, do I get a point?
No, you don't. You get 0 points. You
Come on, man. I'm telling you.
No.
I knew the fucking answer the whole time.
No. You don't get a point. You don't get a point. So up next, we have the main event between Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. We all get a point on that, so we'll skip that. We all got a point on that. The next match was Mansoor versus Ali. We all get a point on that. The other match was Goldberg versus Lashley. We all get a point on that. Next
we all
is
picked
the
Goldberg?
Yeah, we all picked Goldberg.
Did
on
you
that.
Pick for us?
No, you picked, and then you, and yeah, you said you picked Goldberg, bro. You told me you picked Goldberg. Albert told me he picked Goldberg. We all picked Goldberg. We all got a point on that.
Yeah, we all reluctantly picked him. We all were like, I guess he's going to win.
Yeah. And we were right. So now it's time for the King of the Ring. Minister, again, my friend. I told you to pick Xavier Woods.
Ugh.
You did.
Stop
but
it.
You changed your mind. You changed your mind to pick Finn Balor. You don't get a point.
Ugh.
You don't get a point.
Damn it.
What is your excuse for this one?
Man, I have no excuse, Great Swami. I should have listened to you, Great Swami. And I am at your mercy, Great Swami, to just please give me 1 point for good action that I've done. Give me at least 1 point, Swami. Spare me
a point,
Swami.
No, you must be punished. Up next. I chose Xavier Woods. I get a point. Kevin chose Xavier Woods. I get a point. Albert, my friend, you pick Finn Balor. You don't get a point. Tell me, my friend, why did you pick Balor? Albert?
Oh, yeah, you know why. You know why. I was feeling it, man. I was feeling it, and I went with him, and I was just living in the moment, man.
I for the old.
All right.
He felt it.
Before we continue, all right. So before we can continue, I think we need to take an ID break and then come back for the overtime. You know.
We're gonna do a little break. Is that what we're gonna do?
The ID thing.
Of course.
My phone's about to die. I got about 3% on here. So if I die during the overtime, you know why.
We'll do a little station ID.
Good night, everybody.
And then we'll be right back. But good night. Yeah, in the meantime, Albert, good night.
Everybody. No, I'll be here till my phone runs out.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back after these words.
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show. We'll be right back.
gentlemen, name that tune.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Overtime, Fatal 4-Way Radio. But before we get back to the results, let's do a little quick name that tune. Albert Inspected, you're up. Do you know that theme that I just played there?
Let's do it.
So you were not paying attention?
Wait.
We'll do
that
it.
The name that tune for me.
We'll play it again real quick. Albert, name that tune.
Oh, man. La Resistance.
Who?
La Resistance.
La Resistance? Is it La Resistance, ladies and gentlemen? Wait a minute. The cue keeps popping up, but no, that's... The Q is not the right answer, and neither is La Resistance.
I'm going to go with a wild guess and say... it's like, is it the freaking, what is the guy's name? It's like the Italian guys from ECW.
No. Oh, my God. Is it the Italian guys from ECW, or is it racist?
I don't remember what they're called.
And it's not the Italian guys from ECW. Christian from Philly.
Can you give me a hint?
I will give you a hint. It's amazing that nobody asked for a hint, but I will give you a hint. The hint being, damn, what the fuck was his name? Wade Barrett.
Somebody who's associated with Wade Barrett?
What was it?
No, like, are you saying the hint is with somebody who was with Wade Barrett?
The hint is Wade Barrett.
Okay. Who was with Wade Barrett? The League of Nations?
Is it the League of Nations? Could it be the League of Nations?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. But Christian retains his fucking championship just like that, ladies and gentlemen.
Nice.
The Name That Tune Championship with the League of Nations. And Albert, by the way, has dropped off.
Yeah.
And now it's time for the revelation of the result.
All right. So when it comes to the next match, Big E versus Drew McIntyre, we all picked Big E to win, so it was obvious, so we all get a point. All right. Now comes the Triple Threat Women's Match for the SmackDown title. Minister, you don't get a point. You pick Sasha Banks.
Boo.
Everyone else picked Becky Cringe, so we all get a point.
Oh, my God.
Now comes the Hell in a Cell match, the final match on the results. Minister of Scissor, you picked Ed, so you get a point. I picked Ed, so I get a point.
Yeah.
Kevin, for some reason, you picked Seth Rollins, so you don't get a point.
Ooh.
And Albert picked Ed, so he gets a point. Now, Kevin, explain to me why did you pick Seth Rollins?
Well, the same reason that Seth won this match, like this match that he won on Raw or whatever. Like, I thought that they were going to push Seth really hard, and I thought that this was going to be how they did it. But, yes, but obviously not.
All right. Now it's time to find out who won Crown Jewel, all right?
Uh-oh.
We have a tie for dead last. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the first time we've had a tie in dead last.
Oh, my God.
Tying for dead last with a measly 6 points is Albert and Minister of Sinister.
Yes! Dead last.
And coming in with second place with 8 points in total. Kevin with 8 points.
Kevin! Yeah. 8 points, baby!
That
eight
one.
Points.
That
so,
one got me.
So, climbing up to my throne. Not only retaining my name in that tune, but I, for 3 prediction shows in a row, have predicted every single result and won 3 times in a row. Kneel before me. Acknowledge me.
Yeah.
Acknowledge me. I am undefeated.
The undefeated champion of Fatal 4-Way Radio, ladies and gentlemen, Christian from Philly.
Now, I want to make things perfectly clear, all right? This was not a bad pay-per-view. Actually, this was a decent pay-per-view. The matches were good, except for the women's match and the main event. But let me tell you something. This is utter fucking pathetic. How this show was the most predictable fucking show ever. The fact that I got every single result right on this fucked up show tells you how fucked the draft was this year. This draft fucking made this pay-per-view predictable. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm telling you, bro. I should be champion with you. I should be a champion right along with you because every single fucking thing that you said, I knew was going to happen. I knew this shit was going to happen. But I was just trying to go outside the box, you know, in case they did something weird. But they're too lazy to even do that. And that's why they fucking pissed me off. So fuck WWE right now. And that's why they didn't get my fucking money. That's why they didn't get my money last night at the fucking Toyota Center. You know, that would have been an easy $300. That would have been an easy $300.
Kevin, isn't this fucking pathetic how predictable this is?
I agree. I watch AEW. Every time I watch AEW programming, just because it's the alternative, I'm sure. And earlier, like, I was watching Backyard Wrestling, like we were talking about. I watched, like, other brands of crap and, like, different offshoot, like, movies about wrestling. All that stuff makes me happy because I love wrestling, but WWE lately, nah. It doesn't bring me joy to watch it, and it just, like, I'm just like, I will say, one thing I will say about WWE is that me and Ricky watched the main event from Crown Jewel yesterday. And I hadn't watched it yet. And I really liked that match. I thought that it wasn't a bad-paced match at all. I thought that Roman and Brock both looked pretty badass in it. And then I thought that the finish was at least, like, interesting storytelling. Because Paul threw the belt in between them.
and was like, you know what to do with it, but he didn't call out which one. So he was playing both sides. And, I called something totally different happening in that match, but still, it was like, I liked the Roman character, and I liked Brock. I thought that Brock looked fucking badass. Having not watched WWE for like 3 or 4 weeks, watching that match, it was good. So that was my takeaway from the main event. The other thing I was going to say about Crown Jewel, this is my final thought on the show tonight. But, you know, I was really shitting on Crown Jewel because of Saudi Arabia, and I was saying, you know, WWE shouldn't be going back over here. Look at all the problems they've had going to Saudi Arabia. Well, when I watched this pay-per-view, dude, all these fans, like, were having a fucking blast. Like, it was like the time of their life, and the chants were good, and the crowd was super into it, and there was a bunch of people. And it just made me think that, like, good for them that they did get to see this show. Like, it's like, it is a larger-than-life thing for a lot of people to go see something like this. So that was kind of cool because everybody in the crowd was obviously having a fucking great time at that show.
Man, bro, I'm glad that you feel that way because watching the pay-per-view, and I watched it live, and watching the pay-per-view, I was thinking to myself, man, I wonder, you know, Kevier and Albert, they shun on this pay-per-view a lot because of the country that it's being held in and their leader, right, King, whatever the hell his name is. You know, and I put the whole thing in perspective, you know, like, okay, but they don't understand that that's the way it is in this country. You know, they had that whole thing with the news guy, Khashoggi, where they flat out killed this guy, right? And but man, I'm so glad that you're seeing it from a different perspective. Like, this has nothing to do with that guy other than he's the one that paid for it. But he paid for this so that his people could watch it. I mean, you really can't blame his people. So for that, Kevier West, I mean, that screams babyface of the week, Kevier West.
Babyface.
You got the sweetest deal. Hell yeah. I mean, that was some shit right there. You saw.
Mansoor versus Mustafa Ali. Mansoor was badass at this show, too. I watched that match, too, and the Mansoor and Mustafa Ali match was pretty dank, too. But that's
man,
it.
He was, bro. And I hated to see that fucking Ryback opened up his mouth afterwards, saying that Mansoor would never be over. And what's fucked up about that is that Ryback is right. Mansoor will
Both of those guys could be over like Rover. I think both of those guys
but
could be really popular.
But it's not because he's not capable of being over. It's because Vince McMahon will never put him over. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, yeah, Ryback is absolutely right. He's never going to be over. But he's never going to be over because he's not capable of being. Dude, they sold me, and I know I'm keeping you a little bit, but they sold me a story. This, to me, was one of the more intriguing stories of the pay-per-view, was these two guys. You knew it was going to happen at some point. The way they were coming out for months now, Mustafa Ali coming in and you know, and he's hating the way fucking Mansoor is acting all babyface and shit. And then next thing you know, here it is. It happens that and then the whole thing that fucking sucked about it though, and actually to me it took away from it, was the very very end with the guy in the karate outfit that came out. I mean, at first I thought it was actually a woman. I thought it was a woman underneath the garb, but it turned out to be some Olympian karate guy. And I mean, I don't know. That to me jumped the shark and took the thunder of what Mansoor delivered. And Mansoor and Ali, actually, because I thought they told a good story. It was one of them stories, man, you know, where fucking, you know, it's a feel-good story. And, I mean, I don't know. I guess it ended there. I guess.
Yeah.
It ended there? Christian, did that end there? Where do they go from here? Monster.
They're gonna have another fucking rematch. They're probably have. They're gonna have another rematch at SmackDown.
One last one, real quick.
Yeah. Until, you know, Survivor Series, where they have to pick fucking teams. The worst pay-per-view of the whole year. Survivor Series.
That pay-per-view. Never have liked it. Let's wrap this up, if you will.
All right. I'll start it off. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for listening into the Halloween edition of Fatal 4 Radio. It's been me. It's been real. Good night to you motherfuckers. Good night.
Cavier West, close yourself out.
Yeah. Glad I joined for a super spooky edition of Fatal 4-Way Radio. And congrats to the winner and still reigning champion, Christian, of both categories. I'll take my loss with pride. Like a true baby face, and I'll come back stronger than ever, like Hangman Page.
Right.
And I'll bring that cowboy shit next time. Tune into AEW and watch like weird YouTube videos of people just cutting promos on each other, and just like don't support WWE if you don't like it. That's not my main takeaway. That's not my main takeaway really, but it's just like I feel better from taking a break from it. AEW is cool. And I'll be watching and reporting. And I think, like I said, I watched that short film. I think I might watch some other stuff like I'm talking about, and I'll kind of bring a little review here and there of something that y'all can watch that's maybe wrestling.
Bring it in, man. Bring it in and share it with us, bro. Share it with us, and we'll see if we can get it on, and we'll talk about some of those segments, because that's all we can do.
Later, boys.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cavier West. Shit, ladies and gentlemen, each and every week we try to bring you, what our take on professional wrestling, if you will. And I'd like to thank you for joining us each and every week as you do. And I'd like to remind you to keep it real, keep it heel, and more importantly, keep it sexy. Peace out, motherfuckers. Tune in next time on Fatal 4-Way Radio.
This has been a presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.